by Claudio Carvelas. Come, come into the place where God listens, where you need no money, no status, no fine clothes. Come as you are, broken, whole, sick, well, satisfied, or with deep needs. Come to sing, come to cry, come to hear, come to see. Come and be ready, or come to be made ready. We are here. God is here too. Good morning. Welcome to First Congregational Church of Natick. I'm Reverend Cindy Worthington Berry. My pronouns are she, her, and no matter who you are or where you are on the journey, you are welcome here. Whether you are with us on site or online, live or later, we are so glad to be connected. For more information about life at FCC Natick, please visit our website where you can sign up for the link, our weekly email newsletter, and get all sorts of important information about life at FCC Natick as well as the broader community. And if you are with us for the first time today, welcome. We are an open and affirming congregation, fully welcoming people of all sexual orientations, gender identities, and gender expressions. Children of all ages are welcome in this community in whatever way is meaningful for you. We have the playground down front, lovingly staffed nursery care. Good morning to everybody in the nursery. And we have Sunday school after the word for all ages. All right, we have a bunch of announcements coming up. Are you with me? All right. We've got a yard sale coming up. You might remember last year, this was a huge hit. So we're doing it again. May 3rd, save the date. More info to come. Another thing coming up is a Godly Play info session. Godly Play is the core of our faith formation program. Sarah Lynn's going to give us all some information and a little bit of training. So if you'd like to learn more about this program and even how to participate, that's after worship on April 6th. We will feed you. All right, have your thinking caps on? Yes. Don't change the slide. Thank you. I know, yeah, hands off lane, thank you. Guess who? What creature dates back to the time of the dinosaurs, is drawn to bright colors, and breathes air but can stay underwater for hours? Turtles! You can change the slide now. Thank you, Lane. Yes, turtles are coming to FCC Natick next Saturday at 1 o'clock. This is for all ages. You can check my facts at the event and get back to me. You can get tickets today from Sharon if you're on site. Sharon, wave your hand around. There's Sharon for your tickets. And today you can also join in for Family Skate this afternoon. Sarah Lynn's taking group on Family Skate. If you are planning on going to Family Skate today, and that's the skate, the activity, not the sea creature, see Sarah Lynn, because she needs to know if you're gonna be there, because there's gonna be other people there, and Sarah Lynn's just gonna start going up to random people and skating with them. So if you're gonna be there, let Sarah Lynn know. Ice skating. It's indoors. It's all good. Yes. All right. Next Sunday, March 23rd, we're going to install each other as pastor and congregation. That's at 3 o'clock. If you'd like to help sing the anthem, we're gathering at 2:15 to do a quick run through. Easy peasy, be fun. And David is running around today looking for a couple more people to help greet an usher. So if you can help greet or usher, see David. And today we have one of our coffee chats. This one is focused on Daniel's Table. It's an opportunity to meet folks from this food insecurity program and hear more about their work. That will be after worship around 11:45 in the chat room, which is downstairs off the vestry after you get a snack. Today is the second Sunday in Lent. This year we are focusing on the Amen effect, defined by Rabbi Sharon Brous as the very human longing for connection in our most intimate relationships, in community, with strangers, and with God. There is information in the bulletin about our Lenten practices and offerings, including the invitation to write a prayer on a wounded, mended heart to add to our prayer wall. Folks at home, if you send me your prayers in a note or an email, I will add them to the wall. That's what Connie S. did this past week, and her heart is now on the wall. And everybody says, hi, Connie. As we prepare to light the Christ candle this morning, I invite you to settle your mind, body, and spirit. Deepening your breath. Relaxing your shoulders. Even letting your face smile. Once there was someone who did such amazing things and said such wonderful things that people began to follow him. But they didn't know who he was, so they simply had to ask him. And once he answered, I am the light that once was in one place at one time is now in all places and at all times. Let us welcome the light.
Good morning, I'm Rick. Please join me in the call to worship. Your response is, call us back to you, God of love. When we have wandered off into the wilderness,
call us back to you, God of love.
When we are hiding because we don't feel worthy,
call us back to you, God of love.
When we have climbed the pedestal of our own ego,
call us back to you, God of love.
Because we need to draw near to what matters,
call us back to you, God of love.
Amen. Our opening hymn is number 80, Our God, Our Help in Ages Past. A real thunderer. It's in your bulletin and on the slides. You're invited to rise in body or in spirit.
The season of Lent, instead of a centering prayer, we are proclaiming together a statement of faith, this one written by Reverend Dr. Mary Ludi. Mary, who I count as a mentor, recently challenged UCC churches to include creeds or other statements of belief in our services of worship. She wrote, "We've been content to let deeds do our talking, and I'd be the last one to dispute that they are vitally necessary. but by themselves, deeds are insufficient. People suffering grave injustices want more from us. They want and need clear and convicted professions of distinctive faith to counter the competing creeds of those who now have the upper hand. She goes on, there's no mistaking what the powerful and the cruel believe. They're in our faces with it day and night. They are specific and clear in their deeds, but they are even more specific and clear in their words. And often it's what they say, their lies, that persuade and ensnare their followers at least as much, if not more, than what they do. The victims of injustice want to know what our creed is. They need to hear us say it.
Will you join me in declaring the statement of faith in your bulletin and on the screen? We believe the day is coming when God's grace will change the human heart,
and we will live as one with every living thing.
We believe the day is coming when Christ's compassion will fill the earth, and no one will do harm, be hurt, or feel alone. We believe the day is coming when the Spirit's freedom will unbind our souls, and we will live generous lives for each other with a joy no circumstance can alter. We believe the day is coming, and we wait and work for it with steadfast hope, for God has promised it, and God is faithful.
Amen.
Too many times we pass each other as if invisible. No one notices the burdens weighing on our shoulders. We don't see the divine spark shining out of another's eyes. In this place, in this time, on site and online, may we truly see each other and feel fully seen ourselves. Maybe that will help God's peace grow in our lives and in our world. Then we'll sing our song of celebration. God's peace be with you.
about the joy of the joyful noise in the playground this morning. I know folks at home don't get to hear it, but we are so lucky to have wonderful, lively families and children in our playground. And there is no more beautiful sound than kids learning to talk and learning to engage with worship. So I just love that joyful noise over there. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. Rick and I will tell it together.
Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through it.
So just passing through. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, on his way to the Palm Sunday parade and the events of Holy Week. Things are getting serious now for Jesus, but those around him still don't realize it.
A man was there called Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich.
Uh-oh. For Luke's audience, the villain has just been introduced to the story. In Jesus' time, the Roman Empire was occupying Palestine and oppressing the Jewish people. The Romans charged the people with high taxes, and they required Jewish business people to collect those taxes. The tax collectors would have to pay to Rome the taxes in advance, and then they would try to collect them from the people, hoping to not only cover the expenses they'd already paid to Rome, but make a little extra for their trouble. Only problem is that some tax collectors weren't altogether honest and charged people much more than was needed, keeping the profit for themselves. So tax collectors were very unpopular in general, and a rich tax collector would be particularly suspect. So the original audiences for this story would already be condemning Zacchaeus.
Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see Jesus, because Jesus was going to pass that way.
This would have been shocking to Zacchaeus' neighbors and Luke's audience. The adult, male, rich business owner climbing a tree? Ludicrous.
When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry down and come down, for I must stay at your house today."
How did Jesus know the tax collector's name? Was it Jesus magic? Or did he hear everyone in the crowd grumbling so much about the crooked tax collector stuck in the tree? Zacchaeus doesn't waste any time wondering.
So Zacchaeus hurried down and was happy to welcome Jesus.
And the crowd broke into applause. Right, Rick?
No. All who saw it began to grumble and said, "He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner."
So now the crowd has gone from judging Zacchaeus for being a tax collector to judging Jesus for hanging out with a tax collector.
Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much."
Okay, stay with me here. We are using the New Revised Standard Version translation, which is generally a good translation. And it translates that verse the way many of us grew up with. It sounds like Zacchaeus has been so impacted by his interaction with Jesus that going forward, he's going to give half of his stuff to the poor. And if he's cheated anyone in the future, he will pay them back four times as much. However, that translation is wrong. Zacchaeus' words are present tense, not future. "Half of my possessions, Lord, I give to the poor." Zacchaeus routinely gives away half of whatever he makes already. "And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I pay back four times as much." When Zacchaeus discovers an error, he already pays back four times over. Newer translations are starting to recognize the present tense of the Greek, but I think some leave it because they like the version of the story that says Zacchaeus was transformed by Jesus. And I totally think Zacchaeus was, but not in that he suddenly became honest. He already was.
Then Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost."
Zacchaeus was transformed from someone who was judged, wrongfully condemned, and outcast into someone who belongs.
These are our sacred stories. May we have the wisdom and vision to live them.
Thank you, Rick. Children of all ages are invited to lean in for a word for all ages. Okay, so this Lent, some of us grown-ups are reading a book called The Amen Effect. It talks about something that I think the people over there already know. We need each other. And when we show up for each other, in good times and bad, it makes life better. It might seem weird to you that grown-ups need to read a whole book about that, but it is amazing how much we adults can forget as we grow up. Anyway, the author says that when we show up for each other, it's like we are saying amen to each other. Now, some people think amen is just how you say the end when you finish a prayer. But amen is an old, old word that means something closer to truth. When we say it at the end of a prayer, it's like saying, "May all these things be true." That, of course, sounds a little churchy. So maybe it helps to think of amen as meaning, "I agree. I'm with ya. 100%. Amen." Or it doesn't have to be words at all. You can show amen with a thumbs up, or my favorite, a high five. We need as many amens as we can get these days. There is so much anger and separation in the world, so we need as much care and connection as we can get. So let's practice on site and online. What if I say, "I am so happy to be together today. I just feel the love in this community. Amen." You might say it a little differently if I said, "Things are hard right now. Everybody is so stressed. Amen." How about, "I know God loves all of us, no matter where we were born, who we love, or how much money we make. Amen. I believe we can make a difference in the world if we keep working together. Amen." And just one more. "Bless our beautiful and beloved children as they head off to Sunday school. Amen." Have a great day in Sunday school. Our second reading today is by poet Rosemary Watula Trummer. It's called Manifesto, and it's one of the selections from our soul sabbatical packet. Rosemary writes, "And if we can't save the world, and who says we can't, then let us try anyway. Perhaps we have no superhuman powers, can't see through buildings, can't fly, can't bend the bars of cages, but we have human powers, can listen, can stand up to, can stand up for, can cradle. And if we can't imagine a world of peace, and who says we can't, then let us try anyway. Perhaps we start tonight, or on a Wednesday. Thursday works too, or Friday. Doesn't much matter the day. All that matters is the choice to meet this moment exactly as it is, with no dream of being anyone else but our flawed and fabulous very self. And then, wholly present, bringing this self to the world, touching again and again what is true. What if we do? And if we can't save ourselves, and who says we can't, let's try anyway. There was a time I thought I could never be healed. That was only because it hadn't happened yet, so I decided it wasn't possible. Healing happened anyway. What if we decided isn't possible? What if we stopped believing that limit? What if right now we used our human powers of compassion, clarity, gratitude, praise? What if we did it together? Opened all those closed doors inside us? What if we let the opening do what opening does? Amen. I know, Lily just wants to come up here. She just does. This week, I needed extra caffeine. Any amens? Yeah, okay. One day, I knew I wasn't going to make it through the night meetings without another iced coffee. I love working in a place where I can just walk to a coffee shop. This is my first time in almost 30 years of ministry that I can just walk out the door and make it to not one, but at least two coffee shops. So this week I spent a few minutes at the intersection of Main and Central Streets waiting for the four-way stop so I could parade across all the cars watching me have a caffeine need. I love the trees in front of the church, even in winter, with their strong branches just standing right there on that, in that main intersection. But this week, the trees got me wondering. What if I was waiting at the crosswalk, desperate for caffeine, and I realized somebody was hanging out in one of the trees? No doubt I'd have lots of questions, mostly along the lines of, "What the heck are you doing?" I'm pretty sure I would not copy Jesus and say, "Come on down and take me to your house for lunch." But it was just as weird for Jesus to find Zacchaeus in a tree as it would be for me. The difference is, Jesus didn't look up at the tree and see some kooky guy sitting there. Jesus didn't look at Zacchaeus and see some evil tax collector in the branches. Jesus didn't even see Zacchaeus as a community outcast in the tree. Jesus saw one thing, a glimpse of God. This is the core of Jesus' ministry, again and again, seeing in each person a bit of the divine spark. Sometimes that spark is a little flickery, and Jesus is not afraid to point that out, calling people back to their true selves, as created in the image of God. But even when he's grumpy with someone, Jesus still sees in them that glimpse of God. The gospel writer Luke did everything he could to show how dramatic that was. He took a character his audience would despise, a rich tax collector, made him do something stupid, climb a tree, so everyone in the audience would be set up to point and laugh. And then Jesus, as always, flips the script and brings the outcast into the center of everything. Now, IRS workers aren't necessarily heroes to us today, but I don't think we'd have the same gut reaction to tax collector as folks did in Jesus' day. If Luke were writing his version of the good news today, who would he stick up in the tree for me to discover when I go to get coffee? Maybe the so-called illegal immigrant fleeing violence in her home country. If I have lunch with her, I could go to jail for aiding and abetting. Would knowing that make it hard for me to see the divine spark within? Maybe it would be a trans person in the branches. They've just lost their job, housing, and medical care. Would I get so distracted by helping them that I fail to celebrate the way they bear the image of God? But I fear the gospel writer Luke would find either of those options too easy in 2025 for his challenging gospel. On my way for coffee, if Luke were writing the story, I would probably look up and see an ICE agent in the tree. That group of people I no longer see as individuals, but as threats, agents of evil. Certainly not glimpses of God. But that is how Jesus is challenging me to see them. Not to support what they do or stop fighting the orders they are carrying out, but to hold on to the conviction that beneath the Kevlar and the badges is a beautiful and beloved child of God. Maybe there's somebody else in your tree. Some group or individual you are prone these days to categorizing and condemning, tempting to deny their humanity, never mind their divinity. Please, I'm not talking about someone who is actively hurting you or trying to deny your own humanity and divinity. But your tax collector, the person you believe is broken, irredeemable. The group on the other side of a deep, uncrossable chasm filled with anger and fear. The people with that bumper sticker, or posting that stuff on Facebook, or voting in that way. Our trees are filled with those people. And the challenge is for us to see them as glimpses of God. I'll say it again, not so that we agree with them or affirm what they are doing, potentially the opposite, as we challenge them to recognize the divine spark in others. But pretending we don't see them or just leaving them up in the tree doesn't mend our hearts or the world. After all, as often as I've been the one on the ground looking up, I've been the one in the tree looking down. How about you? Amen. Have we all been the outcast at some point? Amen. Have we been the ones pushed to the margins by the powerful and the popular? Amen. The ones who screwed up, who hurt others? Amen. And you, yes, you, even with all that, you carry the image of the divine within you. So let's all come down out of the trees and see what so many glimpses of God together can do. Amen. We know the power of connecting our hearts with God's presence. So during this time, we share our joys and concerns in prayer. Folks in the room, you'll be invited to share yours aloud, and all are welcome to email prayers to prayers@fccnatick.org, and we hold in prayer everyone on the prayer list in the bulletin. Reminder, you might want to get a heart on which to write a prayer if you haven't already done so. We begin with our joys. What joys do you bring to this place today? Bob? Oh, Heather. Heather Bob. How about Heather? Heather's sister Amy is here today, so we can all get the dirt on Heather. And Amy came to help Bob in feeding the 5,000 yesterday at the fundraiser for West Virginia Work Camp. Bob, You, Bob has lots of joys.
People that showed up to help last night with our meal. It was great to reconnect with my West Virginia travelers.
Bob was so happy last night to be cooking together with people who are getting ready to go to West Virginia.
I especially appreciate those people that jumped into the sink and covered, did all of the dishes, so I only had two pots.
They didn't literally jump into the sink.
No,
okay.
Really.
Okay. Bob is particularly grateful for people who wash dishes. So our new scripture passage is Jesus fed the 5,000 and then there was bread and fish left over. It's Bob fed the 5,000 and there was much left over for Open Door the next day. Yeah.
And as a fundraiser, our activity was able to raise $850.
That's nuts. So we cleared $850 for West Virginia Work Camp. Woo! Thanks, Bob. And many people were well fed. People, when we say the deadline is Wednesday, though. Other joys this morning. Lorraine. Is this the woman? Okay, finally, we're gonna have one more woman on Earth. We celebrate the woman who's coming back, the astronaut who's coming back from the space station this week. Angie's from Massachusetts. Welcome home. Declan? I think that third joy is pretty awesome. So Declan is going in every day to Boston Children's Hospital for his laser treatment. It is going well. And like he says, he loves going in there. He has lots of friends there. We're so glad you get to go to a place where you feel like you have lots of friends. And Beth and Declan are both glad that Miss Jeanette is back from her travels. Jeanette, you were missed. Wayne, I missed you, so we're glad you both are back from your travels. Yeah. All right, we'll get that one next time, I promise. Other joys. Lane, do you have any joys? No. What can... Carolyn. So Carolyn is lifting up the work of Mass Rep, right? Bill Keating, who spoke out in support of the correct reference for the Delaware, again, some legal title, McBride. What is their title? Rep, okay. Here's the thing. So I really appreciate lifting up Bill Keating. Let's also pick up Rep McBride, who spoke up for herself as well, and being able to center her agency as well in that place. We are grateful for both of them, the way they've stood up publicly against the trans erasure. Thanks, Carolyn. Karen. We are so glad that after several years, so Karen and Art, we're so glad you moved here. We are so glad you were here when your daughter's house burned so that you could be a source of safety and sanctuary for them. And now we are so glad that the new house is finished, that they're moving back in, and now you get to go from being in that super support role to just having fun together. Thanks, Karen. What concerns do you bring to this place today? I have a whole bunch. Oh, Heather. Heather is lifting up the world. We do lift up the world. This was a hard week. This was also the 5-year anniversary of the COVID shutdown, and I think that memory is a layer for us as well. I'm also thinking about the fact that we are in the season of Lent, and that is a time where traditionally anti-Semitism is on the rise, and it's even worse right now. As people in the Christian tradition, it is our responsibility to speak out and against anti-Semitism where it appears, especially in this season. Lane, do you have? No, okay, I have a couple more. Bill and Gwen are away right now, and they are fine. But Bill's sister Peggy has been living with cognitive decline. She now no longer recognizes her husband of 60 years. So we are holding Peggy and Charlie and their extended family in our prayers. We're also holding in our prayers Jessica T. She's not here this weekend because her aunt Catherine has died and she's gone to be with family for that service. We hold gratitude for that life and we hold Jessica in our prayers. During the season of Lent, our pastoral prayers are an invitation to breathe, to get out of our monkey minds and care for our anxious, exhausted bodies, to let go of so many words and invite in Ruach, the Spirit of God. We're using breath prayers offered by Cole Arthur Riley in her book, Black Liturgies. And if this kind of thing makes you squirrely, don't worry, it's very short. You might place your hands on your heart, which carries so much pain, or on your gut, filling it with breath, or both. Close your eyes, or not, as you are comfortable. Then I invite you to silently name and hold the first phrase as you inhale. Lane, if you could, thank you. The first phrase will be, I am worthy of embrace. You're invited to say that as you inhale. Then silently name and hold the second phrase as you exhale. God, lead me to belonging. I'll say the phrases aloud, but as always, you are free to ignore me. Then we'll end with the prayer of Jesus. Let us pray. I am worthy of embrace. God, lead me to belonging. I am worthy of embrace. God, lead me to belonging. I am worthy of embrace. God, lead me to belonging. As we seek to follow in the path of the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Zacchaeus didn't need more money, more power, or more stuff. He needed more connection. He needed to be seen. He needed to matter. That is one of the greatest gifts of a faith community. Here we can connect to others, We can be seen as glimpses of the divine. We can matter to each other. So as we participate in the spiritual discipline of the morning offering on site and online, know that we see you, beloved child of God. Bless these gifts, and especially all the Zacchaeuses and all the trees, that these will help come down. Amen. Doug sent in a concern that I should have remembered. We are holding in our prayers Susan Lane's family. Susan Lane is a Natick resident who died after spending a couple weeks in the hospital. It was a presence for connection and peace in Natick and beyond, and so we are grateful for her life. We mourn her death. We hold her son, Jay, and all impacted by her loss in our prayers. Apologies for missing that. Our closing hymn is Bless Now, O God, the Journey, number 485.
Thank you.
Amen. You may be seated. Beloved, hear our Lenten blessing by Frederick Buechner. May God bless you, keep you, be gracious to you. May God give you grace never to sell yourself or God short. Grace to risk something big for something good. Grace to remember that the world is now too dangerous for anything but truth and too small for anything but love. May God take your mind and think through it. May God take your lips and speak through them. May God take your hands and do good with them. May God take your heart and set it on fire. Go in peace. Amen.